Okay, so if you remember, let's just remember where we are in the Gemara. The flow of the Gemara has been the same for quite a while, which is that the Mishnah records the position that Lavan einu makev et ha-tchelet, tchelet ha-makev et ha-lavan. The Gemara then introduces the position of Rebbe, who says that they are ma'akev zed zed. And the Gemara attempts to offer alternative interpretations of the Mishnah such that it could be possible that Rebbe would hold that Tchelet ma'akev et ha-lavan and Lavan ma'akev et ha-tchelet in general, but there would be some case in which he would agree that they're not ma'akev, and that would be the interpretation of the Mishnah. Right? So the first possibility was the Seder issue. So now the Gemara introduces Rava's position, which is Gardumin. So if you look at the Gemara, about 60-70% down on the page. Now there's two sugyos we have to do in general. One is the question of why Gardumin, which is what we'll see in a second, is a category in Tzitzit and not in other areas of Halacha. And the second is, what exactly does it mean locally? But before we get into those, we have to at least see the Gemara at least once with broad strokes, and then we can come back to it. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Amar Rava lo nitzcha ela ligardumin. Rava says that Rebbe will say that even though Tchelet is ma'akev lavan and vice versa, they will not be ma'akev each other in the sense of gardumin. What is gardumin? Gardumin is?
Rip it off.
Yeah, when it rips and the leftover part of it. Ti I gardem tchelet v'kai lavan, v'i gardem lavan v'kai tchelet litlan ba. That if the white rips, the blue and the tchelet remains, or vice versa, it is fine. Da amri b'nei rabbi chia, gardume tchelet ksheirin, v'gardume ezov ksheirin. Rebbe Chiya said, these, right, stubs, let's say, of Tchelet are kasher, as are the Gardume Ezov. What's Ezov? What?
But the Kohanim is to use.
For what? Yes, Ezov, for what? For Paraduma, thank you. The Kama Shiur Gardumin, how long are these Gardumin? Amar Rabba, Hamduri, Amar Shmuel, Kedei, La'anvan. The amount that it would take to wrap them, to slip, make a slip knot. Ibailahu gidei la'anvan, la'anvan kulo bahadade. Does that mean all of them together? Odimu kol chad v'chad l'chudei, which is obviously a lesser amount, right? Creating a slip tie of a single string is less than the amount required to tie around all four. Teiku. So the Gemara leaves it. What does teiku mean? I hope we've made this point, but we haven't. No, it does not. If anyone says that, they're just wrong. It is a drasha. No, it does not mean that. It means teikum.
Teku
just means it stands. Let the question stand. That's all it means. Teku means
like if a team has one, it's 1-1, so that's teku.
Yes, but teku means is the same as tekum. Let the question stand. That's all it means. Tishbi itaret kushir babayit is cute. That's not what it means. It means let the question stand. Yes, I know, but it's not right. What? No, just, we don't resolve it. That's it. We don't know the answer, so let the question stand.
Until Tish becomes and resolves it.
What?
Until Mashiach comes and will answer.
No! First of all, no. Okay, anyways. No. Then the Gemara continues by Rav Ashli, Alimad lo ma'anve, v'yavaktane ma'anve, mai. If they are thick strings and therefore they can't be tied simply because of their thickness, but had they been thin strings, you would be able to tie them. Meaning, they're long enough for a theoretical pair of tzitzis to be tied with the anifa, but not the actual one in front of you. What's Allah Hamrali of Achabre, the Rafal of Ashi, Kol Shikendim in Kar Mitzvatayu? It's for sure good because the mitzvah is recognizable, which already tells you that according to this shita, the notion of gardumin is that, or the shear of kedei aniva is that it's still noticeable. Okay. And then the Gemara finally introduces Mantana de Palagale, the Rebbe, who was the author of the position that really argued. And Rebbe, the Tanu, the Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Nazan, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, Shomer Mishum, Rabbi Yochan Ben Nuri, and lo Tchelet Matil Lavan. That even without Tchelet, you put white, and Omer Avish, Mami Natsarach Likshar, Kol Chulavi Chulia. You know, we'll hold it there, because we're going to come back to the local of Gardumen. But there's a lot of questions we're going to have to deal with. Gardumen, let me lay them out, but we're not going to do them yet. One question we're going to have to deal with is, does this notion of Gardumen apply only for Rebbe? Because that's how it's introduced. It's introduced in the Gemara as a potential explanation for Rebbe in the Mishnah. So does that mean only Rebbe holds of it and the Chachamim do not? Or is it possible that the Chachamim hold of Gardumen even though they don't need it to interpret this Mishnah? And the third possibility is, both Rebbe and the Chachamim hold of some form of the Halach of Gardumen, but not necessarily in identical ways. Another question we have to get to is the shear of Kedei Aniva. What does Kedei Aniva mean? Is Kedei Aniva a case in which you don't need to... is that the definition of Gardumen? Meaning Gardumen are a case in which all that's left is Kedei Aniva? Or are those two separate halachot? There's Gardumen plus Kedei Aniva. And Kedei Aniva is not Gardumen. It's a different net there. And how many strings are we talking about? Are we talking about 8 strings? Are we talking about 4 strings? Are we talking about 2 strings? 1 string? 3 strings? Etc. What does it look like in a world where we don't have Tchelet? Right? All these things are going to be complicated, and as I've... this sugya has been driving you nuts. If you look at the Hakdam of the Drisha starts off his comments on the Siman and Shulchan Aruch, Siman Yud Bet, with, there are many positions on this. And the Rav in his piece says, there are many positions on this. That's how everybody starts it. There are many, many, many permutations
That's
of this. It's very complicated.
It's all about many positions.
It's very complicated. Okay. Now. But before we get into the details, we need to do the broader, more fundamental question. The Gemara in on Lamed Hey tells us that this category of Gardumen applies by Tzitzit, but does not apply where?
Tefillin,
right? So the Gemara said, "Amar Papa Gardume Ritzuo Ksheirot Velav Milti." First, the Gemara says that the Gardumen of the straps of Tefillin are kasher, and then the Gemara says it's not true. Mida Ami Bnei Rabbi Chia Gardume Tchelat Gardume Ezo Ksheirin. He says not true. Gardume Tchelat, whatever that means, and Ezo are kasher. These stubs are kasher, but not by Tefillin. And the Gemara says, Hatam hu ditashmishe mitzvah ninhu, aval hacha ditashmishe kedusha ninhu, lo. The difference is because tzitzit are tashmishe mitzvah, and therefore there are circumstances under which the stubs will still be kasher. And when it comes to tefillin, which are tashmishe kedusha,
it's more chamor,
exactly, and gardumen will not work. And then the Gemara notes from here, Michal did Lushira. The fact that stubs are in kasher implies that there is an amount, there's a size that it needs to be. The Kama Shiurayu, how big does it have to be? The straps of the tefillin. So Amar B'chamvar, Amar Reish Lakish, at Etzvat Sir Dam. Okay. What? The straps are torn.
Right. Why do they not work?
So the Gemara says, because they are tashmishe kedusha, as opposed to tzitzit, which are tashmishe mitzvah. So what I want to do, the first thing we need to do, before we get into the details of gardumen and tzitzit, is to ask the fundamental question. What does the Gemara mean here? Right? The Gemara introduces this principle, which is that there is a case in which, let's phrase it more sharply, there is a case in which, even if tzitzit or ezov are cut, ripped to a size which would not have been kasher initially, it remains kasher despite the fact that it now lacks the requisite length because of a category called gardumen, which means that under certain circumstances, tzitzit and ezov remain kasher even if they've been shortened. They've been shortened lesser than the original amount that was required. And the Gemara says that that works for a category of mitzvot called tashmishei mitzvah, but not tashmishei kedusha. Whatever the shiur is, must remain from beginning to end. As soon as it goes beneath the proper shear, as soon as it goes beneath the proper size, it automatically is invalidated. So this is the first thing we need to understand, which is, why do certain areas of halacha have a halacha called gardumin, have a halacha in which, despite the fact that there was a requirement of a size when you started, it can be kosher even once that size is no longer there? And why do certain mitzvot require the maintenance of their shear throughout? Right? That's the fundamental question we need to answer. So,
well, could it just be that this is the shear that should have the bitty of it? If it's shorter, it's okay.
So good. Who says that?
That the Mukhi Yosef.
Thank you. So, methodologically speaking, how could we approach this? So, one possibility is to say what Gavi said, which is really what the Mukhi Yosef said, which is, you think that there's a halacha called gardumin? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, what do you think gardumin means? You think gardumin means that you need an amount, but if you don't have it, it's okay? That's a contradiction in terms. Either you need an amount, or you don't need an amount. The Gemara says there's a category called gardumin. He says, but it's not what you think it means. It doesn't really mean that you need a size. You need a particular size, and if you had that size at the beginning and then it ripped, it's still okay. That doesn't make any sense. Either you need the size or you don't need the size. That's the rule. So then how do you explain it? He says it must be that we have to soften that word need. Need is such a strong word. All right, lechatchila. And then, what is the Gemara saying? What's the difference between tashmishe kedusha and tashmishe mitzvah?
There's no category. Tashmishe kedusha.
Meaning exactly by tashmishe kedusha, there's actually a shear, and tashmishe mitzvah there isn't. Now, how does he come up with that? So, what category would you do? You would call it what we call hinder mitzvah. That's the Mukhi Yosef. So you look at three. Mukhi Yosef says. The Gemara's derivation is the fact that tefillin are not mentioned in the list of things that are kosher because of gardumin. It implies that they're not part of that category. So he says, why? He says, what it sounds like is the following. By tashmishe mitzvah, why do you need a size? Why do you need it to be a certain size? Because it's beautiful. It's nice. So look, if you started out with the most beautiful size and it ripped, what can you do? But by tashmishe kedusha, presumably, the shear is exactly what it sounds like, a shear. So methodologically speaking, the first approach you could take is, there seems to be a contradiction, so how do you deal with the contradiction? Or there's a conceptual tension, how do you deal with it?
Is it really a shear?
Yeah, you just say there's no tension, it just doesn't exist. Right? I mean, it's really a yes or no question. It's not, they both need shear, or I'll put it differently. The contradiction seems to be as follows. Do you need a shear or do you not? Mamanafshach, if you need a shear, you should always need a shear. If you don't need a shear, you should never need a shear. And how could you split the difference and say, by tashmishe kedusha, tzitzit, and the like, you need a shear, but if it disappears, no problem. And by tashmishe kedusha, you say, you need a shear, and you always need a shear. His answer is, it's an illusion. Right? There are only two rules in the Torah. Cases where you need a shear, you always need a shear. Cases where you don't need a shear, you never need a shear. Tashmishe kedusha, tashmishe mitzvah, like tzitzit, we say, start off with an amount, and if it's not there, don't worry about it. How does it make any sense? He says it's not a real shear. It's a hider mitzvah shear.
That would be a problem with our next Gemara, though.
Oh, good. No, so there's a reason that everybody looks. Oh, hello. There's a reason that the people look at the Mukhi Yosef and they say, "What's going on?" So to catch you up quickly, right? The Gemara in on Lamed Chet tells us that by tzitzit, under certain circumstances, if you're tzitzit rip, they're still kasher because of a category called gardumin, that the stubs are sufficient as long as you start with the right size. The Gemara on Lamed Hey tells us that by tefillin it's not true. By tefillin, you need the right size always, right? And if the straps of the tefillin go under the size, it is pasul. The Gemara says, why is that? It distinguishes between tashmishe, kedusha, tashmishe, mitzvah, that tefillin and all other holy objects always need the right amount. Tashmishei mitzvah, it's not true. Why is that the case? So possibility one is that when we say that there's a shear, when we say there's a requisite amount for Tashmishei mitzvah, we don't mean it. We don't mean it. There's no real amount. It's just heder lechatchila. So you don't have it, big deal. That's possibility one. Methodologically speaking, though, let's try this, but let's push this more. Okay, first let's describe the difference. Describe the difference before we justify the difference. Okay? If I wanted to describe the difference, what would you say?
Between what?
Between the way the Gemara conceptualizes Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah, what would you say? Describe the difference.
Tashmishei Mitzvah is the... I guess it's the bare minimum you physically need to do the mitzvah, and then anything added to that is hiddur mitzvah, and tishmishei kedusha is...
No, that's the mukhe yosef. Leave aside mukhe yosef. Just describe it for me, assuming that the mukhe yosef is not correct. Let's say mukhe yosef is not correct. Right? This is not about hiddur, this is a straight halacha, because that's the simple shot here. So, descriptively, what does it say? That by tishmishei kedusha, when do you need shir? Describe.
Always.
Tashmishei mitzvah, when do you need it?
Only
at the beginning. Now, you'll see that if you look at the beginning of the Kovet Shirim, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, right, 20th century, end of 19th, beginning of 20th, dies during the Holocaust. So he quotes from Rav Yehoshua Zelig. I don't know who that is. He's the Ilui Hanifla Mi Klim. I can't pronounce that. Something near Brisk. Now he just, and you always have to be careful. There's the describe what happened and then justify it. He asked him this question. He said, "What is the difference?" Right? He says, "Amar Rabba Magadum Rishon Ksherim Lav Milti." The Yamrinan, etc. Skip down five lines down. I gave you the whole piece, but look five lines down. You've got to understand the difference. V'sha'alti zeh me'ed hagon Rabbi Yehoshua Zelig zatzal ha'ilo yaniflami, whatever you pronounce that, niftar mibrisk. Okay. I asked him, and he said to me, v'heshivli, d'yeshli stapeg b'shiura de tzitzit. You have to wonder whether the size of tzitzit im ashiru b'kiyu ma mitzvah shitzorech lilbosh tzitzit shal yudbet godlin. So the size is 12 godlin, which is 12 thumbs. So he said, is it that the mitzvah of tzitzit is to wear tzitzit with 12, right, of yud beit godlin, of the right size? O dashir rak b'cheftza. Or is the mitzvah, or is the size just in the creation of the object?
Is the thumb like from the bigness or like this?
This is a gudal.
What?
This is a gudal. This size.
Oh, like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, something of that. Okay? So he says, Aval einu tzorech lilbosh et kol ha'shir, but I don't have to wear the whole shir. Ve'im yitzuyar she'tzitzit shel yud beit godlin. This is very lamdish. If I would have a tzitzit where the tzitzit was the right size, v'hu einu lovesh rak chatzi ha'shir gamken kasher, and were I wearing half of the shir, it would be kasher. I cannot imagine what he's talking about, but lamdishly he's saying, I was partaking of the, right, I was wearing tzitzit that had the right shear, even though they were not all on me. I don't know how you do that, but that's fine. He said, I know that the shear is only in the object. Because if the halacha was I need to wear tzitzit of the right amount, then gardumen would make no sense. You need to be wearing tzitzit that are the right amount. Because each act of wearing is its own thing. What would it help you? The fact that it was once the right size. What you learn from this is that when it comes to tzitzit, the shear, the amount, is not an amount that I have to wear. It needs that the tzitzit should be 12 godlin. And once you say that I don't have to be wearing tzitzit of 12, But the tzitzit have to be made of 12. You could. You don't have to. But you could say that this halacha is only when I make the tzitzit. Because what you're saying is that I've created the chefta shel tzitzit. And once it's a chefta shel tzitzit, so the definition remains even if it has lost the shear. But if the nature of the mitzvah was that I need to constantly be wearing tzitzit, which are the right size, then it wouldn't help that it was once the right size, because it
isn't.
It isn't. Thank you. V'im kein yesh lomer dezeu atam achiluk bein mitzvah lekedusha. Is that the difference between mitzvah and kedusha? Hainu, dibi tashmishe kedusha ashiru gam bekiyum ha-mitzvah. That when it comes to tashmishe kedusha, the shear is that I need to perform the mitzvah with this sized object. Meaning I need to wear the right length of your tzuot. Okay, that's what he says. Now what's the problem with what he says?
That
does it explain? No, it doesn't explain at all. What does it do? It simply articulates the issue. I mean, all he did was that he articulated the problem, which is that by tefillin, you actively, the maisa mitzvah must be performed with tefillin that are the right size, with the straps of the right size. And when it comes to tzitzit,
you don't.
You don't. You need to create an object called tzitzit, and the object, once the object is created, it can be cut down and it can still be good.
How do we decide there's a difference? Like, well, the tefillin needs that.
Good. So, okay. So the end. So what's the? Hold that thought just for 1 second. The obvious problem. This will answer Daniel's question. The obvious problem is, and this is what Rav Elchanan says. He said, "Yes, you are correct. That is right. What you said is the proper articulation of the what. But what you have not done is explain this at all. You've just stated it. Meaning, you have restated the Gemara in fancy language. Thank you. Right? That's what you've done. You've restated the point. But that's not the question here. The question is, what is the point? Not restating the point, but please tell me why this is the case. And he says, Kilo shayach sher dagandum in echad ashir b'kiyum umas ha-mitzvah. He said, yeah, obviously. You can't say that stubs will be kasher if I need an actively need the amount to be there when I perform the mitzvah. V'rach heka shashiru b'achevtza greida yishmakal machsher gardumin. Obviously. You can only talk about stubs being kasher if it's a halach on the creation of the object. Right, I added the word creation, and therefore you could say Aval Lefiza and Sarch Lomar the Klaluhu to behold Tashmishi mitzvah Ashiru Rak Bachevza Uve Tashmishi Kedusha Ashiru Gam Bemaisa mitzvah Kiyuma. He said, let me rephrase what you just said and go back to the Gemara. According to you, therefore, that means that what is the Gemara's answer on Lamed Hey? That all objects which are Tashmishi Kedusha, the shirim are about the performance of the mitzvah. And everything which is tashmishe mitzvah,
it's the beginning of the
year. It's just about creating an object. Yeah. Except, what does Rav Elchanan say? V'tzarach iyun. Demai paska. V'ata kula b'chada machtinu. Said, oh, really? Everything? And he's like, give me something here. Explain yourself. What, this is true? Why couldn't it be that you have things which are tashmishi mitzvah that need a shear even when you perform the mitzvah? And the opposite. Meaning, you're just stating the problem. But pray tell, why is this true? Okay, good. So now we've set up the problem, right? We've described the problem, right? What Rav Yeshua Zelig did was he described the problem. But now the question is, okay, but what's the answer? Not, stop telling me what the difference is. I got it. Now explain it to me. Good. So what possibilities do we have logically? And then let's see them inside. What logical possibilities do we have? Good. So Daniel began starting a svara. What is Daniel's svara? Good, but what would I be looking for?
Where we get the mitzvah. Meaning the mitzvah of tefillin is that you should wear them. Right?
Ayalakha.
versus just make...
Okay, so Rafi comes up with one possibility, which is the following.
It doesn't pass halakha or basul MCC.
Good, so Rafi says maybe the real difference isn't Tashmishi Kedusha, Tashmishi Mitzvah. It's the following. If the Torah says make it, then
it can't be
then I know that the shear is in the creation because the act of creating is halachically significant. But if the pasuk always described it not as make but
have.
Perform, have, whatever, then the creation of the object is not a halachically significant moment.
It's doing the mitzvah
itself. Right, it's performing the mitzvah. And once I know that the only significant act is performing the mitzvah, and I know that there is a shear, then the shear must be...
Always.
Right? That's where you would look. Who says exactly what Rafi says? Because Rafi's exactly right. One way of saying this is that it's not really about Tashmishi Kedusha. It's about cases in which the Torah grants halachic significance to the creation of the object, in which case it's plausible to say the shear is in the creation and once it's created, the status will remain, or cases in which the Torah doesn't describe it as making. The act of making is not significant, and therefore it must be that once I know that there's a shear, the shear is in the performance. So who says what you say? It's a very good svara. Who says it? Besides for you. You're very good. You say it. Good.
I got it from Daniel's idea that...
It's fine. I'm glad that you were machaving to it. So who says it?
I don't know.
So the answer is the Chassam Sofer. I'm not going to go in order. I'm going to order the answers that you give me. So Rafi is now going to stand in for the rest of Shira as the Chassam Sofer. Good person to stand in, right? Moshe Sofer. So, now, before I read the Chassam Sofer, though, what nafkamina will emerge from what you just said? That will the real distinction be about Tashmishi Mitzvah, Tashmishi Kedusha?
No,
the real distinction you're going to be looking for are things in which
the
pasuk says make, and where the pasuk doesn't say make. That's what you're going to look for. Good. So that's
but then why is the Gemara say
Kasha? You're right, but that's what's going to emerge from this, and that's what the Chumzover says. So you look at number six. Okay, we're going to go in order of what people suggest. Assuming you are mechaving to all of them, which would make me very happy. So the Chassam Sofer, who's Rav Moshe Sofer? Let's do this biographically. He was the leader of Hungarian Jewry, right? He's the father of essentially modern Jewry, right? He was the Chadash Asur Min HaTorah, right? His famous line is Chadash Asur Min HaTorah because he was in polemics with the Reform movement, with Haskalah, and he didn't like any new things, and therefore his rule in life was Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. Everything new is Asur, which is in fact a rule in the Mishnah, except it refers to...
It's talking about
it refers to new grain, right, before the Omer, L'Chadash, right, Chadash and Yashan. He just said Chadash Asur Min HaTorah, all new things, are Asur, great.
What does that mean, all new things?
Exactly what it sounds like. He didn't like any new things. Good. So if you look at Tshuva in 6 and the generation of Vav in Yoreh, yeah.
So what's it called? Those people
he was Amish.
We hate all new things.
Okay.
Which is kosher phone.
If you want, Michael Silber has written an excellent summary of this. Okay, guys. Guys. Guys, come on.
Bedats?
Guys. Look at.
Bedats.
Guys, look at 6. So he got a question from. Whoever he got a question from. Sorry, from Shlomo Kluger. Okay? Shlomo Kluger, serious posik as well. So he writes, second paragraph, second line, right, after his whole introduction of Shlomo Kluger. Nikabati bikorti v'gamarani alav v'luchot shniyot v'yadat ki lo l'yitzarach mar achan v'zir ha-rabani v'otiyo t'shaluni al dat sefer Torah sh'nishtana hadyo l'achar k'tiva v'nefach l'adam dam. Mikamasi bot ikshir ha-sefer Torah olam. Here was the question that he was dealing with. If I have a sefer Torah, and the ink started to fade, and now it's like reddish. It has a reddish hue. Is it still kosher? This was the question. Okay? So we wrote, Vata voktatel divrei charifuto, umetak divsho b'mate ozen shabiyad, etc. The hukam marito b'sofo, heve ki gardume tchelet dikshirim. So Shlomo Kluger had said to him, yeah, the letters are fine because it's like gardumin, right? Faded letters are sort of like gardumin of tzitzis. He said, I'm sorry, that doesn't make any sense, because the Gemara says that Gardumin is a category in Mitzvah, not Kedusha. And what is the Sefer Torah? Kedusha, good luck. Fine. So, therefore he says, V'ain Gardumin Ksherim. Okay, next paragraph. This was the context for the Shaila. And then he says, Umak shehiksha arava umashakazav lo makshirim gardume shofar velulov de makshire mitzvah ninu. This was the question that he asked. In the middle of the question, the guy said, well, wait a second. Is he shofar teshmisha mitzvah or teshmisha kedusha?
Mitzvah.
Tashmisha mitzvah. It doesn't have intrinsic kedusha. It's for a mitzvah. Teshmisha mitzvah.
No, according to the pasuk.
Nope, tashmish mitzvah, shofar, lulav, right after sukkahs, you throw it out. Right? Not in a bizarre way, but you throw it out. And no kedusha. So what's the problem? If you have a lulav, if you have a nagida shofar, and it is, you made it and it was kosher, and now it's this big. Are you allowed to blow it?
No.
No. So the guy asked him, I don't understand. If the real rule is Tashmishi Mitzvah versus Tashmishi Kedusha,
kosher.
Then why can't I blow on a mini little shofar the size of a whistle that once had the right shear? It's Tashmishi
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah! It should be kosher midin gardumen.
Because the mitzvah isn't in creation, the mitzvah is in the actual.
Still. Good! And that's exactly the point. The Ruch Sam Sofer says you got it wrong. Tashmishi Mitzvah, Tashmishi Kedusha was a shorthand, and it's not always true. There are some Tashmishi Mitzvah that for these purposes are like Tashmishi Kedusha. The real rule, now, the weakness of his Svara is that it's saying that the Gemara didn't mean what it said it meant. That was a shorthand for something that's only sometimes true. Okay, fine. But conceptually, it's a very smooth thing, and he says exactly what Rafi says. So maybe Rafi wants to read his Svara since he's the one who said it. Do you want to read it since you're the one who said it? Or do you want me to read it? I don't care. Okay, fine. Do you have a sheet, by the way?
No, I don't.
Okay, you have two. I was like, that's why you can't read it. Okay. So he says...
That wasn't the reason why I didn't want to read it.
But look at the last paragraph of the Chassam Sofer. He says, Lo kasha midi, ditchelet hi gufei mitzvah, sherei boy asiya lishma. So when it comes to tchelet, the making of it is a halachically significant act, it's a mitzvah. How do I know?
You need lishma.
And since the act of making it was significant, so the Gemara is mechadesh that as long as it was created by hechsher, it remains kasher. And he said, you know how I know that this is the case? Because what would happen if I took those same strings that are kosher on your tzitzit, untie them and put them on a new beged? Would it be kosher?
Yes.
No! Because then I'm making a new beged, and now they don't have the right shear. It's only when it's gardumin. When it's a stub of that which is created by Asher, but if I undid it and made a new beged, then it wouldn't work because the asiyah would be bipsul. He says this is different from what? They're not mitzvot, Ella. Halakicha belulav, ushmiya bikol shofar. The mitzvah is wait, take the arba minim, blow the shofar. We call it kicha, v'tut, mitzvah v'natzma. The taking, the blowing, that's the mitzvah. Lo shayach lachshurei gardumin. That's not the. You can't say gardumin because maybe the last time I blew the shofar, I blew with the kosher shofar, but now I'm blowing, and I'm not. The low gardumin who pashut ach kosher ravatzum gardumin ezov the doma mashlo lulav the shofar vilachi kosher. So then you'll tell me what about agudat ezov? Sarachin and maishma lulav the shofar. Why is ezov not like that? Right, the paraduma thing. Said ulei shani shirei tahara the tvei adav izerah. Maybe that's different because it's shirei tahara. Maybe it's the same thing. Now he doesn't fully explain why he thinks that by tefillin this is not the case. Okay, but fundamentally his svara is clear. That the real rule is not Kedusha versus Mitzvah, it's cases in which the real mitzvah is the performance, because the pasuk does not indicate that there is significance to creating, and cases in which there's significance to creating. Now you'll ask me the good kasha, which is,
Well,
that's what he asks also, and he says that maybe there is, maybe it's a din in Taras that we know from Taras. He doesn't have a good proof for it. But you'll ask me the better question is, I'm willing to accept half of his svara, which is that there are things within Dashmishe Mitzvah which that are pasul even with that don't have gardumin. But what did he not explain?
Is the opposite, like,
right? Why by Tashmishe Kedusha this is not the case? Meaning, why we have lishma by tefillin? We have lishma by tefillin. So how do you not? So maybe the fact that there's a din asiyas tefillin means that once it's tefillin, it remains kosher. Now presumably he'll say no. Either the pasuk doesn't say make tefillin, or you'll say that anytime something is kadosh, what you need is a chefza shel kedusha or something like that. But we'll see. People will say that more explicitly than he does. Okay, that is one attempt at explaining this. Go back to Rav Elchanan. Okay, Rav Elchanan gives a second explanation. He says, no. It really is about Kedusha versus Mitzvah. But you know what it is. So look, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down in the second paragraph. Lulei Dvar, actually, before we see it, give me another Svara. What might the difference be? Okay, I'll say Rav Elchanan outside, then I'll read. Oh, yeah, Rafi wants to switch from being Chlamdor to being Rav Elchanan. So he is actually sharper, right? He says, no. Here's the lamdus. What is the fundamental difference between Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kiddusha? What do you think, Daniel?
Isn't it what we said before about like whether...
Good, but why? So let's push it. He says, Tashmishe Mitzvah. Okay, I'll say it outside. Tashmishe Mitzvah. A shofar. How do I... Why is it that by shofar, it would make no sense to talk about Gardumen? Oh, do you know what? Let's leave shofar for a second. By tzitzis, by Tashmishe Mitzvah, he says the following. The object has no inherent kedusha. Right? What's its kedusha? Its kedusha is a function of the fact that it is used to perform a mitzvah. And therefore, it's possible to say that once the object has been created, Allah the Chazam Sofer, and this is defined as tzitzit, so I can keep wearing it. But by Tishmishe Kedusha, what is different about the object? What does Tashmishe Kedusha mean? That the object has inherent Kedusha.
And if you change the object, then it doesn't have
that. So the Rav Elchanan says, you know what? Maybe it would be true. Maybe tefillin, even when they become smaller, are still called tefillin. But you know what they're not? Kadosh. Because Kedusha requires shear. And you know why you're not Yotzei? Because you don't have the shear, and therefore you don't have the Kedusha. But Tashmishe Mitzvah don't need Kedusha. He said Tashmishe Mitzvah just need an object. And maybe once the object is defined, it retains its identity, even if it loses shear. But Kedusha tells you that the object itself is inherently sanctified, and when it's inherently sanctified, it's an ends and not a means, then maybe it needs constant shear to maintain its Kedusha, and because the only type of tefillin that you can be Yotzei or Mitzvah with are holy tefillin, if it has less than the shear, even if you would say at some level it's tefillin, what is it not? Tefillin that meets the standards of Kedusha. And therefore, he says the difference is when something's Tashmishe Mitzvah, it's only a means. And therefore, you could say, look, once it's defined, the standards are looser because the object is just, right? This is almost opposite the Chum Sofer, right? Is no, Tashmishe Kedusha, the object is significant because it needs to hold a certain standards to have its Kedusha, because without it, without the inherently sanctified object, it's not, right? It's not the object. But Tashmishe Mitzvah, the standards are lower because they're just a means. They're just instruments, but they don't have inherent sanctity. So he said they don't need the, to hold those standards to maintain Kedusha, and therefore he said, V'lulei dvarav ha'yavshar lomar, d'bitashmishe Kedusha, ha'kedusha itnai l'kashrut ha'mitzvah. The image starts a mitzvah k'sher b'chol pratim l'shemezat tam ein lam kedusha z'gufa poslan v'mitzvah tashmishe kedusha tzach shnei dvarim. Etzem kashrut ha'mitzvah v'kedusha. By tashmishe kedusha, I need both that the object is kasher, but that it remains it holy. And in order to remain holy, it needs constant requisite size. It needs to hold to its high standards all the time. But tashmishe mitzvah ein tzach ela pirte ha'mitzvah b'atzma. Said maybe the object is the same because of gardumin, even when the size goes down once it's been created. But batish mishe kedusha, that's not enough because I need an object that's inherently sanctified, and therefore I need it to maintain its sheer throughout. Kevan shein lam toar atzarach lekedushatan. So that's Rav Elchanan's suggestion, that the difference really is about Kedusha versus Mitzvah. It's things which are Tashmishe Kedusha, because in order to be Yotze, they need to be Kadosh. And Kedusha requires standards. As soon as it goes below the requisite size, the Kedusha disappears, and now the object can't function. But when it comes to Tishmushe Mitzvah, it just needs that the object is defined as a functional halachic object. And there, if you add the Chtam Sofer, certain objects we know create a status
based on the Pasuk.
Based on the Pasuk. And therefore, your Yotze. Now, according to this, what do you think? With Rav Elchanan, what would Rav Elchanan want to say about shofar and lulav? What do you think?
They don't have inherent kedusha.
So, do you think he would agree with the Chassam Sofer's limitation or not? Meaning, saying that Rav Elchanan, the Chassam Sofer says that really the rule is there halakhic significance to the asiyah? And therefore, even though shofar and lulav are tashmishe mitzvah, they don't have a lach of gardumin because, since they don't have a, there's no chalos of creating them, there's no mitzvah to create them, it never took on the status, quote unquote, of shofar, such that it could retain a status. Do you think Rav Elchanan would agree with that? Maybe, right? Maybe. Could you argue and say no? Maybe the whole point is that in a chanami, right? Maybe it's not like what Rafi said. Maybe it's not about the pasuk saying in asiyah. Maybe this is really just a rule. Anything that's tashmishe mitzvah, By virtue of the fact that it doesn't require Kedusha, just needs to be created, and once it's created, it maintains its status even if it shrinks.
What about,
so what do you think? Do you think you could, wait a second, we'll come back to Sefer Torah. Do you think you could construct an argument like what I just said?
Well, how would you fit shofar? Things like shofar
into that. Meaning, if you said this, would it be possible that someone would disagree with the Chassam Sofer? Meaning, Chassam Sofer assumes that shofar and lulav, gardumin doesn't work, but could you construct a position in which gardumin of shofar or esrog do work? What do you think?
Perhaps,
right? Maybe not lavdafka, but if you really think that it's that the rule is anything that's kadosh requires shear now to maintain kedusha, anything that's not kadosh is just tashmishe mitzvah doesn't. So then in the chanami, so who holds that gardumin is machshir a lulav and esrog that is small? Who holds that? Thank you. The Chumash Hadeshen. Very good. Good guess. Right? Who is the Chumash Hadeshen? We've mentioned it before. The Chumash Hadeshen is, Zev Shechter like saying, the most important posek in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Why, Rafi? You've never been in my shir, so you don't know. Because the Chumash Hadeshen, according to, again, I've never checked it, I take Rashach of his word, that the Chumash Hadeshen is the only Tshuva Sefer that has the clean sweep, that all 354 Tshuvot in the Chumash Hadeshen are quoted somewhere in Shulchan Aruch or Nosei Kelim, meaning every single one of them makes it Lahalacha, which is impressive. His name was Yisrael Isserlein. Talking. Isserlein.
Where do you live?
Germany. In the 15th century. So here was the shaila. I'll say it's a fascinating shaila. He says, "Asher shaltani auvda tmiya di itaved mikarav b'samuchloch." This was the story that happened. She'akamu yishuvim sheloyalem rak etrog achad lemitzvah b'chag. There were many communities that they only had one esrog between them. Vaitelam sharat chag sheloyucholam lotzi lahem yoter. They couldn't find more than one. Vayirutzim kol yishuvim latzei yidei chovan. All the little towns wanted to have an esrog, so they came up with this brilliant idea. So they cut up the esrog into multiple pieces, and they send a piece, a sliver, to every little town. And by the time each piece got to the cities, they had shriveled to less than the size of a beitza. And even so,
were these the
Taimani esrog? No. By the time the end, it was tiny.
No.
I don't know how big it was originally, but by the end, it was a tiny little piece.
Esrog, it's already much smaller than.
No. Not necessarily.
I don't think I've ever seen.
You could get an esrog. Even a regular esrog could be four.
Really?
Yeah. Anyways, v'dorashtani yishapir lemevet achyel achol maisa. They asked me if this was a good idea.
I mean, it's very creative.
He said, "You've never heard of something," and he said, "Dalach amiti, ki gam beinai orat tamoa." He said, "I got to be honest. That sounds crazy to me." V'lo shapirid ban pai v'aver lachas v'ativ v'dami al kachav v'derek tzara. Let me explain why I don't like it. It goes through a bunch of reasons, but then he says, "V'tzun er lechalek lo dami ledina didan lechaser." Let me get the point. Let's see. And he says, okay. He said, let's say it had happened by accident. So he said, maybe that would be kosher. Why would it be kosher? Because of Gardumei Tchelet. But to do this, right, lechatchila is asur, because it's not a remnant. This was how you intended to do it, meikara. Okay, that's just the next page. Al misha ba lachlok meheshuk chatichah avot levarech alota lav shiori mitzvah mikri lechatichah rechon mikri. Right, if you're cutting it up before sukkahs to do this, then it's not shiorim, it's a chatichah. Right, you're treating it as a piece and not a shiore. Now, his lumdus is very interesting, but let's tease out what comes out from it. Rafi, what emerges from the Truman Adeshin? The Truman Adeshin said, why is it not kosher? Because you were treating it as a piece rather than shiurim. But what therefore is implied by him? That let's say it had been your esrog and it accidentally got cut into pieces.
You could use it.
It would be kosher because of gardumen. He said gardumen. Right? So Rav Elchanan points out that you see from the Truman Adeshin that, what did he think?
Gardumin applies to all.
Good, that he thought Gardumin did apply against the Chacham Sofer. The Chacham Sofer thinks that because Shofar and Lulav and Esrog don't have a dinasiya, therefore, you can't have a halach of Gardumin. And he says, what are you talking about? He really holds it. If it's Kadosh, then the Heft is important. If it's Tashmishe Mitzvah, it once needed to have the right shear. That's all there is to it. Right, and as long as you once related to as a chetza of a mitzvah with the right shear, that's it. You're good forever. It's fine. You could use a tiny little esrog this big. That's a 75% of your esrog is eaten by your dog. Kasher, right? Kasher. That's what Truman Sedeshin writes. Right. That, and therefore, according to Truman Sedeshin, it really is a chiluk between tashmishay mitzvah and tashmishay kedusha.
Maybe this happened on the second day of Shabbat, and that's why he said.
Look, there's a lot going on in that tshuva, but the Truma Zadeshen, look, Rav Chanan's right. If you're Medayik in the Truma Zadeshen, it's clear this is what he holds. Okay, you guys are, I know this is a taxing svara, sugya, nisvara. So far we've seen the Nemuka Yosef who says that this is really just, the difference is lechatchila b'diavad, right? Meaning, whether there's a real shir or not. We saw the description of Yeshua Zelig, that it's a difference between things that need a shear always, meaning the performance of a mitzvah, and things that need shear in the object. We saw Chassam Sofer says the real difference isn't Tashmishi Mitzvah, Tashmishi Kedusha, it's whether there's a mitzvah to create it, in which case there's a chalos. Now maybe by tefillin I have to come up with something else, but therefore there are things even within Tashmishi Mitzvah that don't need this shear, right? That do need the shear always, because there's no mitzvah to create them, and therefore there's no chalos, shofar, and esrog. And then we see, Rav Chanan says, the difference really is mitzvah versus kedusha. The things that are kadosh, because they need to maintain their kedusha, they need a constant shear. And things that are just means, they don't need kedusha, and therefore it could be they were created the object to maintain their status. And we saw that really the Trumas Hadeshan thinks that, and really thinks that there is Garduman by Esrog, unlike the Chassam Sofer. We have left tomorrow. I know this is a bit of an achronish sugya, but they're the ones who really flesh out the ideas. Is we're going to see tomorrow the possibility that if we're careful in the Lamdus, so far we've seen the possibility of things that are Teshmishe Mitzvah that might
have
a din garduman. Tomorrow we're going to see. Well, not tomorrow, because you have your chabura. Tomorrow. Wednesday, have a tiyul. Next time we look at this, right, we'll polish off this part of this. What? Shiloh. Well, we'll see. Maybe on Thursday. Okay, guys, maybe on Thursday. Right, Broy's coming on Thursday, so maybe on Thursday we'll polish off this sheet. Right? Yeah, but maybe we'll just in the morning. Maybe in the morning, without preparation, we'll just polish off as far as here. This way, by Sunday, we can go to the local Sugya of Garduman, which is even more complicated, right? Which is, okay, how does this play out in Tzitzis? Okay, but try to at least polish this off. We'll see if there's time tomorrow. If there's time tomorrow, maybe we'll polish it off. I don't know. But next time we have Shir, depending on how long Chabur is, right? Klapper is also coming, giving Shir tomorrow. So we'll see exactly how things.
What time?
But they didn't tell me. What?
Oh, no, that's in the afternoon.
My Klapper, I think, is 12. You're giving Chabur at 9. So we'll see. If we have time tomorrow, maybe we'll just polish this off. And after that, I want you guys already to start thinking about the local Sugya of Garduman, which really, I mean, I'll give you a source sheet, but really it's going to be starting with the Tosfos over here. The Tosfos, the Rush, but we'll polish this off next time, okay?